Hello, world, and thank you for tuning in to Everything EHC.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast show are solely those of Everything EHC's guests and hosts. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind, Enchanted Hills Camp, or Maceo.net. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show.
Hello, world, and welcome to yet another episode of Everything EHC Season 3 2021 season here at Enchanted Hills Camp. I am your host, Maceo. So glad to be back, as I have mentioned a million times. We are on our third episode for this season, and we are currently in Cabin Lakeside 4. And I have a guest here with me. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and why you're in Cabin 4.
My name is Joe. Hello, everyone. My first year was 2015. Served as a counselor that year. Got promoted up to the head male counselor 2016, 2017. Took a little break. Now, somehow, I'm back as this year's rec area leader and head male counselor. And I'm in Lakeside 4 because I drew the short straw and I get to room with Maceo. It happens.
Yes. We are roommates. And so I thought, since we were doing, these podcasts anywhere we want to this year, I thought we'd just start right here in our own room as roommates. How do you know I didn't draw the short straw?
That's what I want. Touche.
Damn. Okay, so we have had a lot of laughs in here already just in the last couple days. I've known Joe a few years. Very inspiring brotherhood of EHC here. We're going to talk a little bit with him about the past, what's been going on with him. But double duty this year first. Your head male and recreation. Tell us, the circumstances regarding you getting here for both roles. Can you give us that?
Yep. So I planned on being the head male counselor, but over the last pandemic, over this last year and a half, I got really into disc golf and just loved being outside and just being that kind of outdoor activities and had fun with it. Brought it up to Tony, kind of jokingly, like, we're not going to let all these campers throw a bunch of discs everywhere. Didn't have any expectations. I was like, Tony, we should play some disc golf and I have fun with it. We'll see what happens. And he was like, great, lead it. Okay, Tony, what about head male? You could do that too. So, yeah. I like working hard. I like doing everything that I can. Just all about the campers and if we could have a little fun up here, it's all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a great attitude. You're a hard worker. Great with the campers and with the team. I appreciate your skills on so many levels. And you have a lot of insight. We were talking a lot this morning over coffee about, you're a runner now. Can you tell us about that? You just got back from a run with Ethan. Would you guys give a little bit of history on what's going on with your running for me?
I actually started running. So my last year, like I said, was 2017. And just walking all these hills, my legs got super fit and just felt really in shape after that year. And I actually lost about 20 pounds. And
I'm going to interrupt you here. Tony and I were driving the teens' bags up for that year on the very end of that season.
Mm-hmm.
And we came around the corner there from Half Moon Circle and you were just standing there waiting for us to go by. And Tony said, man, he's lost a lot of weight. It was very noticeable from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, how much you just trimmed down. Yeah, you looked really like a different person
We're up on Mount Leader, so it's hills. So just everywhere you turn, can't escape it. So I came back to my regular life and just felt super fit. So my sister said, you want to go for a run one day? And I said, yeah. And turns out I like running long distances and just really challenging myself. So that's how I started running. That's 3.5 years now. Just kept up with it and kept challenging myself. Did the 5K, did the 10K. Now let's see a half marathon. Got up to there and just kept progressing and did my first marathon, 26 miles in December of 2019, progressed it, said, I could go further than that. Over this it was December 6 months ago, 7 months ago now, I actually challenged myself to a 12-hour and wanted to see how far I could possibly run in 12 hours because apparently I'm a lunatic.
I was joking about that a little bit because I can't even ride 12 hours in a car without feeling uncomfortable at some point. Let's see. You slowly progressed to this. You did the marathon, right, which was a lot of people, and then you did this 12-hour run as a fundraiser for your own challenge, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. And you had a lot of support on that fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Tell us about, your run, what you did for that 12 hours. I thought it was interesting how, as a visually impaired person, this is an interesting concept of how did you feel comfortable running for that long in an environment by yourself being visually impaired?
Yeah. So it was supposed to be a run in San Francisco. I picked it out at the beginning of 2020, but then the world stopped, as everybody knows, and COVID kind of took that race away from me. But I still had that urge to challenge myself. I still wanted to see what I could do in 12 hours. So I ran it by myself. I put together that little fundraiser through Facebook and just to try and get the money raising towards a nonprofit, just so I kind of hold myself accountable towards it. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't have a ton of vision. I have enough to kind of go in familiar places, but also my family and friends are fit, but not 12 hours kind of fit. And who would want to run that far besides me? So I actually ran it around my sister's house on a 0.4 mile loop, which is less than that half mile, over and over and over.
And over again.
But when they were ready to go for a little run, they could jump on their bike or they could run with me and give me a little sanity break. We went through the park, went through different areas just to give my mind a little bit of a break. And then when they were tired, brought me back to that loop, kept circling, 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night.
Unbelievable. Congratulations on doing that.
Thanks.
I look forward to hearing more about, well, you have plans to run in the future.
Yep. I promised to Maceo within the next 5 years, I'm going to do 100 miles in 24 hours for some reason.
Holy smokes. That's a big promise. I'm going to hold you to that. Yeah. I'll be keeping an eye on Joe.
Just something about grinding yourself to the bone. I don't know. Masochist, whatever you want to call me.
I don't understand it. It's a very strange foreign concept for me because I get winded coming up Cardiac Hill. I'm like, tell us. The other two things I thought were interesting we were talking earlier that I wanted to point out was, you mentioned that there were a lot of hills here. You like running the hills.
I do like running the hills, but I also live in Fairfield, which is pancake flat.
Right, which was getting me to find my hills. Next. Yep. Interesting. How do you run hills at home? What was that?
When I would go and visit my sister, she has a nice little overpass right by her house. I like the length of it. I like the steepness of it, so super short distance, but I could condense my hills into it. Start on one side, up the hill, down the hill, turn around, up the hill, down the hill, over and over and over.
Right.
And actually had people, I could hear them on their phone at the base of the hill, and they'd, man, this lunatic, I just saw him. He's still going 20 minutes ago. What's he doing? Up the hill, down the hill. But
so for all of our listeners and everybody out there, you never know what other people are doing. Joe's out there training on a hill as a visually impaired person, trying to, train, and then he feels comfortable doing that. And if anybody stopped him and asked, hey, lunatic, why are you doing this? It would probably make sense, a lot more sense to them, and there would be a bigger understanding. So let's not forget when we see strange things going on out there that there's might be rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah. So, and I'm running without my cane, so they have no idea that I can't see well enough. But this overpass was all that I felt comfortable running on with my limited vision, you know.
Right. And then that's a great story for me. I think that's just an important lesson for all of us as observing human nature, that we just don't always know what's going on. Dude wants to train. This is where he's at. Tell us about what you physically experience after you run for, what was it, 12 hours?
12 hours, yeah. It's just I guess I was talking with Ethan, so we're running this morning. Ethan is a more of a fast and short sprinter, so I say that he likes his pain really quick, really hard, really fast, but then he's done. I'm more of a really slow burn and really torture yourself really slowly, so it just gradually sets in, more pain, more stiffness, more pain. And then by the end of it, I need both my legs to lift over the bathtub so I could get into that shower before dinner. And I don't know, just everything gets stiff. Everything gets a little bit slower. And I told Macy it was kind of funny. By that last hour, I would physically have, when I come to a corner, physically have to stop, pivot, turn that corner. And then
start up again.
And then start back up. I could power walk. I could go straight all day, but it's just, everything was so sore I couldn't turn those corners.
No, that's very, very funny. Interesting. Yeah, those are the things I would never know about. I'll never know that pain.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we've been going to talk about the positive things we did through the pandemic. It sounds like I know you were talking about job hunting and all kinds of things were going on, but I'm glad you're back and we made it through that stay-at-home order. Was there anything in particular? I want you to do a talk about the podcast you were on and do a shout out to that, and as well let people know about your book before we finish up here. So, you know, we're trying to get to know everybody. I know you've been on the show a few years ago, right?
Really? We just got too busy. That's what happens up at camp.
Yeah,
too busy.
Right.
Things get rolling. And
I apologize for not getting you that year.
No worries.
So briefly go over that stuff for people so they know where they can find you to learn more about Joe here at EHC.
Like about my book or like?
Sure. Well, just let them know. Go read the book. Tell them what it is.
Yeah. My book is an autobiography I wrote. It covers from when I lost my sight. It was December 2008. It covers from the accident. Well, I was in a hunting accident, which is the cause of my vision loss. From that kind of point through a whole year, and it stops when I start college. So it's that whole critical kind of adjustment period on what my thoughts were, what my family was kind of going through, all the stuff that we faced with the doctors, hospitals, all that whole journey. And I kind of really talked about it because I wanted to share like how I overcame my adversity and kind of came to at peace with my vision loss. And because if talking about what I did to help, what I did in order to overcome can help others kind of get that perspective. And if it works for them, then that it's all worth it. So that's kind of why I published it.
What's the name of the book?
It is called Blind Courage. And it's on Amazon and all the places where you could kind of buy books online and ebooks and everything like that. Blind Courage by Joseph Rutherford.
There you go. I've read the book. It's very inspiring. Your story is very unique. Very unique story. Very inspiring words and still inspiring. You know, I asked you earlier if you were going to write another book. You said, you know, you're kind of working on it. I encourage you in the future to, you know, consider, you know, working on that inspiring vibe. Maybe you don't have it at this moment, but maybe in the future, I feel confident that you'll find
Maybe.
Way to express yourself again, I hope. You also play the bass and the bagpipes, which is really cool. Fellow musician. Joe, you add a lot to this camp. I know why Tony keeps conning you into coming back. And then, of course, more recently, you were on a podcast. Let's just talk about that for a second before we finish up.
Yeah, so for that first marathon that I was talking about back in December 2019, it was my first marathon, and I didn't know a whole lot about running. My family wasn't really into it, so I was just searching any kind of information that I could draw upon. So some of the things that I used were podcasts, and this one that I really kind of attached myself to was called Running for Real by Tina Muir. And that's where she just kind of interviewed a bunch of different people, got some real different insights onto what kind of helps those people, what do they do, and everything like that. Well, she decided that she was going to be a guide for the California International Marathon. That's kind of where we have a bunch of the blind people are kind of come together and run that race. It's a really kind of popular race in Northern California. Well, she just said that she was going to come out and guide. So I kind of reached out to her, was like, that's super cool. You're coming out. Maybe I get to meet you, or I'm going to be there too. It's going to be my first marathon. I reached out to the president of the association that kind of networks and brings all the sighted guides with the blind people so they could pair them up and get them going. And I said, oh, that's super cool that she's going to come out and guide. And apparently they went behind my back, said that she was going to run with me. So that was a huge kind of booster, huge enjoyment. It was so cool. I was so excited. She also took it that one step further and said that she was going to have a live show at the expo the day before the race. I was like, well, I'm going to guide you. Come on to my podcast. So I got to go out, have that kind of live panel. We had a live audience, and there were four of us up there talking and just kind of sharing our stories. She had a little interview, so I got to be, that was my first experience being on a podcast. She has like 3 million different, or right, 3 million views and listens or whatever. So it was just a trip. It was a whole big, exciting weekend.
Sounds wonderful. Do you know what episode it is? What number it is on her podcast?
I don't know what number.
That's all right. That's all right. Say the podcast again.
Running for Real by Tina Muir. Muir.
Yeah. So check that out. It, obviously an inspiring experience for you and a motivator to keep your running going, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's a great experience. And it got you warmed up to be on this podcast as well, so there you go. When I found out you actually were the one that told me that we were going to be roommates, when you found out, you sent me a nice message and said, hey, I was pretty excited that I was going to be your roommate. I'm stoked to be here this summer. I'm stoked that you're my boss in a way. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we can have as many laughs as you do scolding me. It should be a good time. I look forward to this teen session working with you, and we probably won't see each other too much in the day because area leaders have their own thing going all day. We do this big team building thing, and we're all together, and then all of a sudden Joe's going to be out doing his rec thing and doing his counselor thing, and I'm going to be doing my enrichment thing, and we will probably just be here late at night snoring in each other's faces. So this is a good downtime on our day off to find out more about Mr. Joe Rutherford here at Enchanted Hills Camp. You got anything you want to say to anybody, or any words of wisdom, or anything, any shout outs or anything? This is a prime opportunity to do that.
No, I'm excited to be here too. We've already had so many laughs, not just with you, but I think we have a real nice, strong staff that's all coming together nicely, and everybody's staying up late and laughing their heads off, and I think it's really cool. Excited for opening day tomorrow.
Yes, I would agree. I am going to take these last moments of these final hours off and enjoy camp in a personal level, because it's going to go by so fast. So I hope you have the same experience and have a good summer, and I wish you well. And
thank you.
Maybe, hey, you know what? Let's uh, let's set up at the end here. You're going to be all the way through STEM with Hobie and music with us.
Yep.
Let's set up and plan on doing a post-summer. Maybe we can fist fight it out or something on a second podcast.
Or do it from laying down in our beds. Yeah. I'm too tired to sit up right now.
The first night I was here, everybody, I forgot to turn my watch alarm off. I was on East Coast time. I come in, we're trying to sleep. My alarm went off at 3:30 in the morning. And right off the bat, I irritated Joe by waking him up. My bad. I'll apologize right now for that. But I think we've smoothed it all out and we're getting some good sleep. I'm looking forward to the summer. Good times with Joe.
Thank you.
Here at Enchanted Hills Camp. Thanks for being a guest, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to our listeners here at Everything EHC. So many more episodes to come. Please keep checking back and enjoying all of our guests here on Everything EHC. Thank you again, and signing off. We'll talk to you later.